Every day is just one heartbeat away from a headline. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Let's take a look at some of that testimony of Robert Tellis on the stand. This is him basically denying everything that has been presented to him thus far. Let's take a look.
I did not cut up a shoe and hide it under my couch. I did not cut up a hat and put it in an open door of my toolbox. I did not kill Mr. Gurman, so I did not take a bag with my children's basketball and football out of the bin and use it during the commission of a murder. I didn't kill Mr. Gurman. I am not the kind of person who would stab someone.
The objection was sustained.
Okay. So, I've never beat anybody up. I've never killed anybody. I didn't kill Mr. Gurman.
What do you make of that, especially his movements? He's one of the shiftiest people that I've seen on the stand. He's a pain in the ass to edit, to keep in frame, because he's constantly, he's over here, he's over here, he's down here, then he's up here, and he's saying the same things over and over. The hand on the chin and the rubbing of the fingers constantly and just this casual, I didn't do anything. Give me your feedback. Those are some of my reactions.
I'm going to put it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
He's not a good liar.
No.
He just isn't. They actually need to use this in interrogation classes to teach some of the things to look for, because he pretty much wraps it up with his lack of eye contact, with, as you called it, shiftiness, rubbing the fingers, rubbing his face, looking down at critical times when he's talking about he doesn't, you know, commit murder and he didn't commit murder. He's just a bad, bad liar. But I think he thinks he's a good liar.
Yeah. He definitely does. It may not be that he believes his lies, but he believes other people will believe his lies. And that's what makes it very fascinating. I think he'll be shocked when he gets a guilty verdict, because he seems to have this very verbose, confident attitude about him when everybody's looking at this going, what an idiot. Like, what a freaking liar this guy is. We see little pieces here and there in a lot of the cases where the defendant testifies, but he like just checks all the boxes for like red flags.
He does check all the boxes. And, you know, there was something very interesting early on in his testimony. Do you recall when he was checking off, if we're talking about checking off boxes, all the things that he had taught himself? You know, he definitely wants to show how he's a self-made man. He, you know, went into real estate. He's been a mechanic. He's done all sorts of jack of all trades sort of work. And then, you know, online, got his law degree. And it was very interesting because he segued right into talking about how whoever did this murder was taught.
Yes.
In other words, they knew to go for the, you know, how they chose to stab him in the heart and slice his throat up. And I was thinking, geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife, because it was just the perfect segue where I could see where his mind was going.
Well, I mean, is it something you even need to research? I mean, it's like, I think someone would really need to like research this, slash somebody's throat, stab them in the heart. I could ask my 12-year-old that question just from her playing video games or watching movies and being 12 of if you had to kill someone and they were attacking you and you had a knife, what would you do? She'd probably answer that. It's a common sense type thing. How do you end someone's life if you need to? Not if you want to go kill someone, but if you're being attacked or something, where would be some good spots to go? It's not hard.
It's you're right. It's absolutely intuitive, I suppose. You know, if you have a knife, heart and neck would be the good places to start. But it was that whole segue from being self-taught. And then it just made me think, you know, I think he planned it in his brain. He taught himself in his brain. He had a plan when he approached Mr. Gurman. I think it gave us some insight that this wasn't just a Harry Carey, you know, crime of passion. He saw him and did it. He planned it. But I think he planned it up to the detail of how he was going to execute him.
Oh, yeah. I think he did a lot of Googling. I'd say ChatGPT, but I don't think it existed at that moment in time yet. I think he certainly looked this up a little bit. Honestly, because I think he's kind of an idiot and he needs to learn his behavior. I think a lot of his reactions are that as well. I think they're learned behaviors. They're not natural reactions. They're over the top. I've said this before. It would be like if you were in high school acting class and you were like playing that role in a court, the teacher would be like, okay, you're on track. You seem to have the emotions, but tone it down a little bit because it seems a bit much. That's what I feel like he's doing there on the stand.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a 5-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and savor every twisted detail without interruption.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.